Welcome to the Gregory Neesmith Show. Let's get personal about the news and the culture. Shout out to the underdogs, to my people, and the occasional Trump supporter that might accidentally find the show. Appreciate all of you. We do this here every Sunday, 1 to 3 p.m. on WHCR 90.3 FM, the Voice of Harlem. There's a couple ways you can tune in every week. You can be riding around in your car, turn your radio station on your FM dial to 90.3 FM. And for those who are riding around today, it is unusually warm. It's nice, but it's warm. It's unusually warm. For those who don't believe in climate change, I don't know what to tell you. But it's nice out, though, and sunny. So shout out to all the folks riding around in their cars on this beautiful day in New York City and especially in Harlem. Also, for those who like to watch, you can go on WHCR.org. That's www.WHCR.org. And you can either listen to the live stream or you can watch. And some people love to watch. Today, it's Old School Retro Sunday. Why is it Old School Sunday? It's because there's no Facebook Live today. No Instagram Live today. We're going old school. It's just me, you, and your radio. Or in 2017, me, you, and your smartphone or your laptop or your computer or your car radio. That means if you want to interact with me and each other today, there's only one way to do it. Old school. The telephone. Mr. Telephone Man. I don't want nothing wrong with my line. I'm going to call Gregory's number and I'm going to pick up every time at area code 212-650-6903. That's area code 212-650-6903. And for those who are like, what is he singing? It was the remix, Telephone Man, one of my favorite bands, groups, New Edition. I mean, it's Retro Sunday, so I had to come with one of my throwback favorite groups. You listen to the voice of Gregory Neesmith, who is the host and creator of The Gregory Neesmith Show. I'm also an entrepreneur. I'm also into spreading special stuff. Helping underdogs rediscover how special we are in the world, going from stuck to unstuck to growth. I also do some coaching and consulting. And for those who listen often, you know I rep the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia, Philadelphia, Philadelphia. But now calling Harlem home and happy too. You can join the conversation, like I said, at area code 212-650-6903. That's the only way we're going to interact today. Now, if you missed today's show, though, you can catch a replay, a rebroadcast, the podcast, on places like iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podomatic. And shout out to Podomatic. We are still trending in the top 200 in the Society and Culture podcast out of thousands. And that's because of you. But yes, you can always catch the podcast. Live show Sundays podcast comes out on Monday. With that, today's show, we're going to get personal about the news and the culture. It's Retro Sunday. One quick note, though. It's October 22nd. And what is so significant, at least to me, about and what's so personal about October 22nd, that it is exactly 1 month out. 1 month from my birthday. I'll be turning 42. The big 42. And it hit me this morning as I looked at my watch and saw 22. And I'm like, dang, a month away. How am I feeling about my birthday? What am I going to do? I'm still figuring that out. I will say, though, birthdays are always emotional for me. I don't know if they're emotional for you, but they are for me. I would say birthdays and probably New Year's Eve are the two moments in time where I get very, very reflective. I start replaying like my entire life around my birthday and around New Year's. Am I where I should be? Am I doing what I can do best? Ooh, what am I still mad at myself about? Why can't I forgive myself about something I did in 1992? All the things come up. I will say, one of my best birthdays was 2 years ago, and it had a lot to do with this very place where I'm sitting right now. This studio, this station, was a part of one of my best birthdays ever. Not ever, ever. You know how sometimes something's so good, you be like, you don't even, you pronunciate things in ways it's just ever. On my 40th birthday, which is for a lot of people a big deal, and it was for me too, that weekend, 2 years ago, my birthday fell on a Sunday back in 2015. And literally, that Saturday, I was hosting a show or co-hosting a show in Philadelphia called The Word Up Show. And then Sunday was my debut on terrestrial radio in New York City on WHCR 90.3 FM, The Voice of Harlem, with my friend Nick and Tommy as part of a show that used to be on this network called The Dudes of Disruption. And so on my 40th birthday, speaking of the theme of retro and throwback episode, which we're doing today, it's no Facebook Live, no Instagram Live. It's just me, you, and the radio. Well, your smartphone or your laptop, too. And that weekend of my birthday and on my birthday, I was on the radio, a lifelong dream. I dreamed of being on the radio since I was 10 years old. And it only took me 28 years to finally make that dream come true. And I got to make it come true here on WHCR 90.3 FM, The Voice of Harlem. So that Saturday, the 21st of November 2015, I was on the radio in New York, in Philadelphia, which was the first time that it happened. And then I was on radio for the first time in New York City on my birthday, my 40th, on WHCR 90.3 FM, The Voice of Harlem. This place will always, always, forever be special to me. So for those who are Scorpios, it's that time of year. Call in. Let me know what you're going to do for your birthday if you are a Scorpio and your birthday is happening at the end of October or during the early part of November. Let me know, 212-650-6903. I'm going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about some things going on in the news and the culture. I'm thinking it's Sunday, a little after 1 o'clock. Football games are kicking off all across the country. As you know, I'm still boycotting the NFL. But something happened this week. The NFL players, NFL owners met this week. And I want to get your thoughts on who got a first down, who got a touchdown. Did anybody win this week coming out of those meetings with the NFL owners and the NFL players? Also, there's some stuff going on in the motherland, especially in Niger. We lost 4 American Green Beret soldiers to an unfortunate reported ambush in the country of Niger near the border of Niger and Mali in Africa. We'll talk about that and all that is related to that situation. And we'll also talk about what's on your mind. Call in and share, and we'll talk about it in the moment. You got something going on personally? You got something going on in the news you want to talk about? Something going on in the culture? Well, you've made it to the right place. The Gregory Neesmith Show, where we get personal about the news and the culture. More of the Gregory Neesmith Show after this quick break. Welcome back to the Gregory Neesmith Show, where we get personal about the news and the culture. If you want to join the conversation, shout out to the underdogs, to my people, and the occasional Trump supporter. You can join the conversation at area code 212-650-6903. It's Retro Sunday, Throwback Sunday. Call me on the telephone, Mr. Telephone Man. There's something going on with my line. When you call 212-650-6903, You'll get Gregory every time from Sundays 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WATR 90.3 FM, The Voice of Harlem. Now, I talked in open. It's my birthday, a month from today. Shout out to all the Scorpios in the building, listening far and wide. All right, let's get into some news of the week. And also, let's get personal about it. You know, we now live in a culture where a lot of things are done publicly. Social media. I want likes. I want followers. Did it for the gram. And then there's times where, and I believe this is oftentimes when it's best, when I or you or others, when we don't necessarily do things for the likes, we do them for a cause. We do them because of deep beliefs we have. We do it or do something because we think it's the right thing to do. But that's not easy. Because sometimes doing something that you feel is right, doing something for the culture, doing something for your people, doing something for yourself can come with risk. Like, I get why sometimes people don't speak out. Because sometimes it can cost you your job. A very public example would be that of Jemele Hill, the African-American female who is a sports commentator and on-air personality at ESPN, who 2 weeks ago from today posted some tweets related to the NFL and to the Dallas Cowboys and to Jerry Jones, who's their owner. And I'm not sure if she got a bunch of likes or retweets or followers. But I do know that her speaking out impacted her job and her career. For those who may not be familiar with the Jemele Hill story, and if you're a frequent listener of the show, you know some of this story, but there was a new twist 2 weeks ago. She was suspended for her second violation of the social media guideline policy at ESPN. And that's because Hill took to social media to comment on Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones, having said that any player, and this is Jerry Jones, saying that any player who disrespects the flag will not play in a Dallas Cowboys game. I bring this up because 2 weeks from tomorrow, Jemele Hill's suspension will be over. And hopefully she will be back on ESPN with her co-host Michael Smith hosting SC6, Sports Center 6, which is their 6 p.m. Monday through Friday primetime show. Just to put in perspective what Hill said, I'm going to read her series of tweets that unfortunately got her suspended. And we'll make this all make sense as to why sometimes doing things for likes or for the gram is one thing, but doing things for the cause is another. And unfortunately, there's some things we do that may not get any likes, may get you disliked, actually. And in this case, Jemele Hill, when she tweeted in response to Jerry Jones saying that he was going to bench any of his players if they disrespected the flag. And for those who are like, disrespect the flag, let me translate, because there's some Americans who somehow have conflated peaceful protests for equality in policing and the justice system overall for minorities and specifically African Americans, somehow people, including Donald Trump, have convinced a number of Americans to somehow equate that with disrespect of a flag. They actually have named it the anthem protest, which is wrong. It's a phrase that I will never use because there's no one protesting an anthem that I know of right now. But I digress. Let me read to you the tweets from Jemele Hill exactly 2 weeks ago today that got her suspended, and her suspension will be over tomorrow. Her response to Jerry Jones saying he was going to bench his players that disrespected the flag. She wrote, "If you strongly reject what Jerry Jones said, the key is advertisers. Don't place the burden squarely on the players. Just so we're clear," this is Jemele Hill tweeting, "I'm not advocating an NFL boycott. But an unfair burden has been put on players in Dallas and Miami with anthem directives. If fans really are upset about Jerry Jones and Stephen Ross, the owner of the Miami Dolphins, Jerry Jones, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, what they have done, don't call the players sellouts, but you're watching every Sunday. This play always works. Change happens when advertisers are impacted. If you feel strongly about Jerry Jones' statement, boycott Jerry Jones's advertisers and the Dallas Cowboys." That was Jemele Hill. I don't know. Doesn't really seem like something that should get someone suspended. I get it. For those who may be thinking, "Gregory, you're missing the point. You can't bite the hand that feeds you." ESPN has a billions of dollars TV contract to broadcast the NFL. She can't call for a boycott of the NFL. I'm all for supporting the sister, but Gregory, come on, man. Don't bite the hand that feeds her. This is where attention to detail comes in handy. She said she's not requesting for anyone to boycott the NFL. She was specifically targeting her comments and her thoughts about if folks disagree with Jerry Jones to go after specifically advertisers and supporters of the Dallas Cowboys, not the entire NFL. Details matter. So I just wanted to make sure I pointed that out. That, you know, she wasn't biting the hand that feeds her. But unfortunately, she got suspended. And I am still team Jemele Hill. And still team people that do things for causes. Do things because they feel they're right. And not because they think they may get a bunch of likes or retweets.
Yes.
Hold on. I think we have a caller. Name and where you're calling from.
Yes. Deborah from Manhattan.
Hey, Deborah, how you doing?
I'm so glad that you broke it down the way you did so that if, you know, anyone has a problem figuring it out, that's why it's so important that you get an education and you learn and know how to read. I have seen people almost break their back carrying food home when it's time for a football game. I mean, I have seen men that don't even carry bags throughout the year from the supermarket. But when it's time for the game, I mean, I almost felt sorry for them with all they've carried. I said, "My God, he's going to get a hernia."
It's awful.
Everything that there is to buy in that market, they had in the bag. Mm. But, you know,
yep.
I don't know. When I see people sometimes and they're not so nice to people on the bus, and I say, "Wow, you know, Rosa Parks, you know, she didn't do this for that."
No.
you know, or running away with buses when you see old women trying to get on the bus. She didn't do that for you to do that.
No.
And I feel the same way about the football situation. I mean, like, it's not your hand, and if she chooses to try to explain something to you, meaning us, with, you know, without, you know, she could go to court right now maybe with a good lawyer and fight that. But she didn't tell them not to.
No.
She was just trying to explain.
And my issue, too, is she's a sports commentator.
Right.
Her role is to commentate. And
right.
Everybody who goes, she shouldn't be talking about politics. She's talking about the sport in which she covers. And guess
right.
what? Politics is involved in the sport that she covers right now. So this is not out of bounds. It's not out of her sphere of influence or what she knows about. This to me, it's crazy. It doesn't even make any common sense.
But you see, a politician was the one who brought it up to begin with.
Tell him.
You understand what I mean? So since he brought it out and he told everybody that he had a lot of friends in the NFL, I mean, I could really say to myself, maybe he's blackmailing them. Maybe he's bullying them.
Well, Deborah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I want to make a point that maybe folks who don't follow sports as closely may not know that Donald Trump, who oftentimes has been compared to acting like a little kid or a toddler, which I think gives toddlers and little kids a bad name, but let's play with that out for a second, that
right.
he's still bitter about the fact that he couldn't get into the NFL club because he attempted to buy a team years ago. He started a competitive league. He was trying to legally finagle his way into the NFL, and it didn't work out. So some of this is also just him being, again, childish and immature.
Right. Well, maybe if he had been a little nicer to the butchers, he could have found out how to get a football team.
Yes.
Because they had one at one time, and they didn't know how to run it, but they did get it.
Yes, and for those who may not know, the second Bush who became president at one point was owner or involved with the Texas Rangers in Major League Baseball. So, yes, but once again, I think we'd be asking too much of him for the word nice and Trump to be put in the same sentence.
But you see, that's what happens when you have a little low energy and you pay attention to the details, and maybe you can get a little something more.
Yes, and you make a good point. And shout out to everybody who listens to, please read some stuff, get some additional points of view, because sometimes what
yeah.
you hear as a quick soundbite is most of the time never the full
exactly.
story.
Exactly. Have a great day, Gregory.
Hey, appreciate you, Deborah. Have a
Bye.
Good Sunday. Bye. Shout out to Deborah from Manhattan, letting us know her thoughts on what's been going on with Jemele Hill and the NFL and Trump overall. Appreciate you, as always. If you want to join the conversation, you can call in at area code 212-650-6903. It's Retro Sunday, which means no Facebook Live, no Instagram Live, no live tweeting during the show. It's just me, you, and your radio. Or because of 2017, me, you, and your smartphone or your laptop. But shout out to all the folks listening on an actual radio or driving around in their cars in New York City and in Harlem on this sunny Sunday. So now, as I was saying, we live in a culture where a lot of times people do it for the likes. They do it for the gram. They do it for retweets and followers. But oftentimes things are best when we do it because we think we're doing something or sharing something because we believe in it or we think it's the right thing or a just cause. And Jemele Hill, to me, is an example of that we all get to experience together. And, of course, privately going on in our everyday lives, there's people out there, you included, who are doing stuff because it's the right thing to do, not because it's necessarily the popular thing to do. So that got me to thinking about putting stuff in perspective. Earlier this week, the NFL players, NFL owners met to attempt to get from protests, as it's been called, to progress. I'm going to get to that in a second. And please call and let me know your thoughts on who you think got some yardage, got some first downs, who actually made some progress. Do you think the NFL owners came out winners? Do you think the players did? Do you think us as American citizens did? Do you think the fans did? But I'm going to get to that in a second. But I want to give some context. It's Retro Sunday. And so I think it's good to go back in time and remind folks that oftentimes in the moment, those who do things because it's right, as opposed to those who do things because they want likes, are often not liked. Speaking of being American, for those who are a little older than me, or for those who are just into history, remember all those unpatriotic Americans who were protesting the Vietnam War? And a government that said those folks weren't patriots? A government, and some have reported under the Nixon administration, that the whole law and order and war on drugs that he started was to go after African Americans and also those who were against the Vietnam War, and to criminalize them, to get inside of their organizations, and to quiet them. They didn't want the blacks who wanted to stand up for themselves to have a voice. They didn't want protesters of all races and genders who were against the Vietnam War to have a voice. So then came the Nixon, reportedly, war on drugs and Mr. Law and Order. Remember how unpatriotic those folks were fighting against the Vietnam War, protesting it. And then guess what? History came along. And now we see it as a war that was a mistake, and one that we probably should have never been involved in, or not been involved in as long as we were. And now those protesters, disliked then, look like they were on the right side of history now. I bring that one up first for context, because as we talk about the anthem protest, which, by the way, I've told you is the wrong way thing to say and call this. There's nobody protesting the anthem. There's NFL players protesting for racial equality in policing and the criminal justice system overall, specifically for minorities and especially for African Americans. That's what they're protesting. Just thought I'd bring that up, because the media continues to use a phrase called anthem protest, which doesn't exist. But it's Retro Sunday, so I want to give some context, especially for all those who live in today's culture of doing things for likes instead of doing things that are right. That unintentionally rhymed just now, but I may use it again. Jemele Hill did something that was right, ended up costing her a suspension. Funny how a lot of NFL players are being called unpatriotic, disrespectful to the flag. Remember those Vietnam protesters? They were called unpatriotic too. Nobody liked them then. History's on their side now. Let's go back to the LGBT movement. Many Americans also viewed gay rights marchers during the AIDS epidemic negatively. According to Business Insider, the March on Washington for Lesbian, Gay, and Bi Equal Rights and Liberation in April of 1993 drew more than 800,000 people fighting against discrimination and seeking more funding for AIDS research. But in a Newsweek survey conducted at the time, back in 93, only 23% of Americans thought that the demonstrations did more good than harm in the fight for gay rights. Nobody liked them. Nobody liked it. If Instagram was on back then, a lot of people probably wouldn't have been following it. They likely were saying those people were destroying America. They were being disrespectful. They weren't honoring the values of the great United States. Only 23% of Americans thought the demonstrations did more good than harm. You know why? Because nobody likes protests when they're protesting. But I got to say that, because if we're living in a culture where people are doing things for likes instead of what's right, then they might become prisoners of the moment. They might not want to say things like Jemele Hill said, because it could get you suspended. I understand it could get you suspended. I understand that during the Vietnam War, those protesters were seen as unpatriotic, but history is on their side. And today, gay rights organizations celebrate that march back in 1993, where over 800,000 people showed up. Same-sex marriage is now legal, and much of the platform from those protests back in the 90s are now part of law, and those protests now seem so mainstream. But I'm not done. I want to give another example of some context leading up to today, and we'll talk about who won, who's winning. Are the NFL players making progress? Did the NFL owners make some progress this week? Did the fans make any progress? Did Donald Trump make any progress? It's Sunday. How ironic that the show is on Sunday. Football happens on Sunday. So yeah, we're going to talk about it because we get personal about the news and the culture. Are you doing it for likes or are you doing it for what's right? Civil rights protests. There were many marches for civil rights during the 1960s. And guess what? They were generally seen as negative too at the time. I was reading an article in 538.com and it reported that, as the Washington Post noted, most Americans didn't approve of the Freedom Riders, the March on Washington in 1963, and other similar protests. In fact, many Americans thought that these protests would hurt the advancement of civil rights. In addition, many Americans held mixed to negative views of civil rights leader Martin Luther King. Now, sit down for a second and take this in, what I'm about to read from the 538 article about the civil rights movement, and specifically now about Martin Luther King. In a 1966 Gallup survey, 63% of Americans gave King a negative score on a scale of negative 5 to plus 5. Let me say that one more time for those who are caught up in today's culture of doing things for likes instead of doing things for what's right, who might stay quiet, unlike Jemele Hill, who spoke up. And I get it. You might stay quiet because you're trying to keep your job. Cost her 2 weeks of her job. I get it. NFL players are being called disrespectful, unpatriotic. Some people like Mike Ditka have even said they should go to another country and go play football if they don't like it here. So I wanted to take a pause and put some things in perspective for the underdogs and my people who might be listening now, because I don't want you to become prisoners of the moment or get discouraged. Those Vietnam protesters seemed unpatriotic at the time, but they weren't. History is on their side now. The folks who marched for LGBT rights in 1993 and other marches along with that, seen as not helpful at the time, history's on their side now. In 1966, almost two-thirds of Americans were like, Martin Luther King is negative. And now, decades later, the marches are viewed as major successes, with just 4% of Americans rating Martin Luther King negatively now, on a recent 2011 Gallup poll. You see, I point this all out because I'm an underdog, you're an underdog. Sometimes the odds are stacked against us to win. And one of the things I'm fueled by is to fight for underdogs to rediscover how special we are in the world. And we go from against all odds to being the favorites to win. And I say this just as much for you as I say it for myself, because there's times where, yeah, I want to be liked. I want people to call the show. I want people to download the podcast. I want people to like my post on Facebook. But I also have to remember that sometimes there's going to be things that I want to say, things that I want to post, things I want to share, topics I want to talk about, points of view I have that may not be liked at the time, but that's not a reason for me not to share them. It's not a reason for you not to share them, because history has shown that oftentimes doing something for likes can actually lead to dislike. Oh, no, sorry. Doing things for likes doesn't always equate with doing what's right. So that's just some perspective. And the article goes on to say that civil rights protests, moreover, tend to involve minorities making demands of society at large. So by definition, most protests, especially those for civil rights, by definition, start as unpopular, which means that they are initially unpopular. That doesn't tell us where things will ultimately end up. So again, we're going to talk about today's news, but I wanted to take a step back. It's Retro Sunday. It's Throwback Sunday. No Facebook Live, no Twitter. It's just me, you, and your radio, smartphone, or laptop. And I wanted to put into context that underdogs, sometimes you're not going to be liked for what you're doing to do what's right. But history will be on your side. So that means get yourself a support group. Get yourself some loved ones. Get yourself some faith. Be guided by what your calling or higher purpose is, because you're going to need it. Because it sounds silly now, but guess what? Those Vietnam protesters were disliked, called unpatriotic, disrespecting the flag. Those folks marching for LGBT rights, unpatriotic, disrespecting the flag. Go someplace else. Those folks fighting for civil rights, disrespecting the flag. Martin Luther King, disrespecting the flag. Go someplace else. Un-American. I'm glad they didn't do things for likes. Instead, they did stuff because they believed in it being right. We're going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, more of the Gregory Neesmith Show, where we get personal about the news and the culture. And if you're an underdog, or you're one of my people, or even an occasional Trump supporter, you've made it to the right place. Today's episode is, I didn't even come up with an official title for today's episode, but for right now, I'm going to call it Retro Sunday, because we're going to throwback. It's just me, a mic, you, and the radio, and the latest of what's going on in the news and the culture. More of the Gregory Neesmith Show after this break. Welcome back to the Gregory Neesmith Show. Shout out to the underdogs and to my people and the occasional Trump supporter who might accidentally find the show. You've made it to the right place if you want to get personal about the news and the culture. Thank you for going on the ride. You're listening to your host, Gregory Neesmith, who's into spreading special stuff, an entrepreneur, and a proud Philadelphian now calling Harlem home. Today's episode, I didn't specifically come up with an exact title for today's episode, but for now, we're just going to call it Retro Sunday, because technically, and I mean like technically, like the technical side of things, today is old school. No Facebook Live, no Instagram Live, no live tweeting. It's just me, you, and the radio. But because it's 2017, it's probably me, you, and your smartphone or your laptop or your iPad or, you know, something like that. So if you want to interact with each other and me today, you got to do it the old school way. Mr. Telephone Man. Got to call this line. When I call Gregory Neesmith, I get him every time. I'm not the greatest singer, but that is my shout out to one of my favorite groups growing up, New Edition. And if you want to call in, it's area code 212-650-6903. That's area code 212-650-6903. And for those who might be like, he's showing his age. Well, speaking of age, it's October 22nd, and exactly a month from today on November 22nd is my birthday. Turning 42. Grateful to have almost 42 years on this earth. Grateful to be on WHCR 90.3 FM, the voice of Harlem. Childhood dream to have a radio show since I was like about 10 years old. Only took me almost 30 years later to make it happen, but I did make it happen. And just want to remind folks, it's never too late to go after whatever you dream of doing, being, creating, have happen. Never too late. And so, as the saying goes, it happened right on time, and I'm right in the place I'm supposed to be. And that's on the radio with you. And on the radio at countdown to 10 seconds, because it's almost the top of the hour. It's almost 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in New York City and Harlem. And you are listening to
WHCR 90.3 FM, New York.
That was perfect timing. We're now in the second hour of the Gregory Neesmith Show, where we get personal about the news and the culture. I'm turning 42, birthday coming up next month. You know, I used to be all up in my thoughts and feelings about sharing my age out loud. Or, you know, like on your Facebook status or in your about section. I'm not sure if it's this way on LinkedIn too, but you get to choose whether or not you share the year you're born. And I think right now I currently don't share the year I'm born. And I'm gonna change that. There's no reason for me to be embarrassed or ashamed about how old I am. This is how old I am. 42. So if you feel a little emotional about your age and sharing it, it's okay. It's natural. I'm that way, been that way. But I'm gonna let go of that and embrace the blessing that it is every year I get to be here and do what I do, which is, you know, try to figure out what to do between now and that day when it all may come to an end. But I'm following my dreams, and I'm enjoying this whole ride of fighting for underdogs to rediscover how special we are in the world, so we can go from against all odds to being the favorites. Go from underdogs to contender, contender to champ, and champs to, hey, might as well shoot for going to be legends too. And supporting each other along the way. All right. We were talking earlier about the NFL protest, talking about Jemele Hill, talking about a little perspective that oftentimes in today's culture, folks do things for likes instead of maybe doing things for what is right. I accidentally said that earlier. It rhymed. I like it. I'm going to keep saying it now. And then offered a little historical perspective that there's been countless times in recent history, in the recent 50 years or so, that there have been protesters that have been seen as un-American, unpatriotic, disrespecting the flag and all this and that. And history was on their side. Civil rights protests was an example. Some of the LGBT protests as an example, folks protesting the Vietnam War, all examples of, at the time, nobody liked them. Those rabble rousers. Go someplace else. Kind of like today with the, and I'm not going to say anthem protest, because anthem protest doesn't exist. I have a new rule. There's no anthem protest. New rule. It doesn't exist. There was never an anthem protest. There's protests kicked off by Colin Kaepernick and now continued by other NFL players protesting racial inequality in policing and overall justice system for minorities, and specifically and especially for African Americans. That's what Colin Kaepernick and now other players have been taking a knee for during the start or the pregame leading up to the actual NFL kickoff and games. Next time someone says that there's an anthem protest, you can say to them, no one's protesting the anthem. Next time they say, someone says to you, they hate those players, they wish they would play football, they're not helping their cause, they're spoiled brats, you can say to them, you're not surprised that that person dislikes them or that other Americans dislike them, because history has shown that whenever folks take stance, especially for civil rights, they're inherently unpopular because they're normally by a minority group, and that history and this country eventually awakens and gets to their side. For example, the LGBT protests in the 90s, or you can tell them about the civil rights protests in the 60s, even blow their mind and tell them that two-thirds of Americans hated Martin Luther King, who now they can't wait for January to come around and they get his day off, and then they talk about how free at last, and they quote his quotes, and you see his memes by whites, blacks, Asians, all types of Americans. But guess what? 50 years ago, people hated him. There's a Gallup poll to prove it. So you can help them to not be prisoners of the moment and let them know that you'll continue to pray for them and that you understand that it's unpopular with them now, but that that will change as time goes on. And then if you are someone who is in the fight or someone who is close to or supportive of folks, and when I say in the fight, obviously Colin Kaepernick, recently these NFL players have been getting a lot of publicity. But as we know, there's people fighting like you every day in our communities, every day in the boardroom, every day in HR, every day in your community, every day in your school system for equality. And so please remember that it's a marathon, and unfortunately there's things that get likes and there's things that we get to do because they're right, and to know that it might be unpopular in the moment, but that history will look upon you well, and there's a sense of being able to sleep at night knowing you're doing what's right. And I actually am saying that so that I can remember that too, because I know there's going to come moments probably sooner than I'm even ready for where I'm going to get to do what's right and not necessarily what's popular. And I get to remember the context of that. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, want to shift gears into another topic that happened this week. For those who might be watching live on www.whcr.org, which is the website of the radio station where you can live stream the audio or even the video of all the shows that are happening here at the station on WHCR 90.3 FM, The Voice of Harlem. If you're watching, you might see that I have on a shirt that has a picture of Africa. And it's by no coincidence. Because Africa was also in the American news this week, and specifically the country of Niger, and Niger along with Mali. And I will explain after this break. If you want to join today's show, which is Retro Sunday, because there's no Facebook Live, there's no Instagram Live, there's no live tweeting, it's just me, you, and your radio, you can join the conversation for the Gregory Neesmith Show at area code 212-650-6903. That's 212-650-6903. Call me. We're going old school today. But if you do miss any part of the live show today or in the future, you can always listen to the podcast of the show, because it's live show Sundays, podcast Mondays. Search the Gregory Neesmith Show. We out here. More of the Gregory Neesmith Show after this break. Welcome back to the Gregory Neesmith Show, where we get personal about the news and the culture. Shout out to the underdogs and my people who come along for the journey every Sunday on WHCR 90.3 FM, The Voice of Harlem. Let me do that again. For all those who come along on the journey on WHCR 90.3 FM, The Voice of Harlem. Much better. Today's show, I don't even have an actual title for the episode, but for now, I'm calling it Retro Sundays. Why? Because today, it's just me, you, and your radio. or your laptop, or your iPad, or your computer. You get it. You get it. Because there's no social media stuff going on, which is how it was in the old days, where if you want to get involved in the conversation today, you got to pick up the phone, Mr. Telephone Man. There's nothing wrong with your line. If you call Gregory Neesmith, he'll pick up every time at 212-650-6903. That's area code 212-650-6903. And shout out to Asha Davis. She's part of the team here. Award-winning advertising executive. She's a comedy writer and a proud Torontonian from Canada. She'll be back in the studio next week. I also bring her up because I think she would be proud of me, because she got me to do freestyle rapping a few weeks ago. And I think she would be proud of me this week that I'm doing some impromptu singing, channeling my inner Asha Davis. Appreciate her. And she'll be back in the building in the studio next week. We've been talking about a little perspective. One is my perspective on a month from today is my birthday, and that birthdays for me, along with New Year's Eve, are probably the two most reflective, pensive times of year for me, where I start to question everything. Like, did I make the right decision in 1992? Should I forgive myself for something I did in 2006? Am I where I should be at the right time at the right place? Why didn't I buy a place in Harlem years ago? All types of things run through my head. But for me, as long as for the most part I feel like I'm being my best self, which is normally for me if I'm staying in touch with family and friends, if I'm being open and vulnerable about how I'm feeling, what I'm doing, what I'm thinking, if I'm being unreasonable in terms of really daring to do stuff and take risks, if I'm being those ways, then normally for the most part, I'm in a good mood for my birthday or for New Year's. Because I can't always control the outcome, I do have a say in how I'm acting, what mindset I'm living by as the days go on. So I think I'm somewhat set up for a pretty good birthday. Because I'm living out a childhood dream of having a talk radio show. My consulting and coaching practice under the company called Underdog Stuff, coaching, consulting, and community. I got the official trademark and LLC thing going. About to start my first big corporate coaching project next week. I'm living in one of the greatest cities and greatest neighborhoods in the world, in Harlem, in Manhattan, in New York City. A few years ago, I was blessed to be able to find my biological parents and family. And so as I sit here today on these airwaves, I'm someone who for 2 years was in foster care, then adopted. And I sit here today being able to say that I know all four of the parents in my life and that they're all alive and well. I sit here today on a sunny Sunday that when I get to leave here, I walk out and be able to walk home with the sun shining on an unusually and somewhat scary warm October fall Sunday, but roll with me. Still a beautiful thing to be able to walk home in the sunshine. Blessed to have my good health. And blessed that there's a possibility of all the things I still dream of are still possible. So I think between now and next month, I'm set up to hopefully have a good birthday. And I hope that you are too. Especially for all the Scorpios out there. Scorpio season! Let me know what you're doing for your birthday. You can reach me on social media. My Instagram is the Gregory Neesmith. My Twitter is just at Gregory Neesmith. And there's also a Facebook page for the show, which is the Gregory Neesmith Show. So you can reach out to me in any of those places, or you can reach out on the phone, 212-650-6903. And let me know what you're doing for your birthday. I keep thinking that one of these days, you know how in fashion trends and things come back every 20 years or so, I believe it is. I keep thinking that eventually the phone call is going to make a comeback, where folks are just going to be picking up the phone and talking to people instead of texting and things like that. We'll see. Now, I got a little bit off track because I looked at some of my notes of things I wanted to cover, and I realized I didn't play Malcolm Jenkins, who is an NFL player for my hometown Philadelphia Eagles, and he had some comments to say after he came out of the NFL players and owners meeting from earlier this week. And I'm thinking I'm going to, play that before I move on to our next story, just to round that all out. And also because I pulled the clip and I don't want it to go to waste. And I think this is a question that we'll come back to in future weeks, which is, have we moved from protest to progress related to Colin Kaepernick kicking things off and then other players following suit to raise awareness about racial inequality in policing and our overall justice system? Has progress been made by the owners, by the players, from the fans, by Donald Trump? We won't answer it all today, but I'll leave you with, on this topic, Malcolm Jenkins, who was one of the players who met with Roger Goodell, who's the commissioner of NFL, and he met with several owners and several players. And these were his comments coming out of those meetings, and something that we'll talk about in future weeks to come, because it's Sunday. And by coincidence, it's also the day that football happens. And so this topic will continue to come up because we get personal about the news and the culture. And I'm all for fighting for things that have to do especially with black folks and equality and policing and the justice system. Here's Malcolm Jenkins letting us know his thoughts on NFL players and NFL owners and Roger Goodell meeting earlier this week.
We've been invited up here to be able to speak with owners about some of the issues of injustice that we've seen in our communities, and how, as players, we want to use our platforms. And we just talked about how the owners could come alongside us, and we could collectively, collaboratively work together to actually create some change and some real change. And so those conversations will continue. The dialogue will continue. As players, we'll continue to do the work. In our communities, we feel like that's the most American thing to do, is to use your platform and influence. And with the stage that we have as NFL players and as a league in general, we feel a real responsibility to our country, to our communities. So we're working through ways to really have long-lasting real change.
And that was Malcolm Jenkins of the Philadelphia Eagles talking about his thoughts on the recent protests, the recent meetings, and whether or not they are moving from protest to progress. More on that in the coming weeks. All right. Another unavoidable news topic of the week was the unfortunate situation in Niger. And I want to read some of a summary of what happened from an article in theweek.com. And then I want to play some clips from some of the folks involved and give you some of my thoughts on what is going on. So for those who may not know all the details, President Trump, and I'm reading from a recent article in theweek.com. President Trump came under intense criticism this week for taking 12 days to pay tribute to four Green Beret soldiers killed in an ambush in Niger in early October. And he provoked a furious backlash when he falsely claimed that Barack Obama and other past presidents never or rarely called the families of soldiers killed in action. The four soldiers were gunned down by Islamic extremists at the border of Niger and Mali on October 4th. In the days after the deadly ambush, Trump made no public statement and did not contact the slain soldiers' families. Instead, during the time between October 4th and leading up to this week, he was tweeting about attacks on fake news media and playing golf. Amid growing questions about his silence, Trump finally made some calls this week to the soldiers' families, but was accused by Florida Rep. Federica Wilson, a Democrat from Florida, who said she heard the conversation on speakerphone of Donald Trump telling Sergeant LaDavid Johnson's pregnant widow that her late husband, quote, knew what he was signing up for. Trump denied Wilson's account over Twitter, claiming he had proof and that what Rep. Wilson was saying was totally fabricated. But Johnson's mother, who heard the call, said President Trump did disrespect her son and her daughter and her husband. Former aides to both Obama and George W. Bush angrily rejected Trump's suggestion that neither president contacted the relatives of soldiers killed in action during their presidencies. And many other people came to the defense of the past presidents. But the president, Trump, pressed on. And he also had President Trump evoked the son of his chief of staff, John Kelly, saying that Obama didn't call him after Marine First Lieutenant Robert Kelly was killed in a landmine in Afghanistan in 2010. Kelly, who never discussed his son's death in public, was among the Gold Star families honored in the 2011 White House breakfast. All right, that's some of the background of what's been going on. Let me play first a clip from Representative Wilson of Florida, who is not only the politician who represents the area of where LaDavid Johnson, who was killed in battle over in Niger, is from, and his family, but she's also a friend of the family, and it's reported that she does a lot of things in the community, which includes a mentoring program which he was a part of. And so I want to play Rep. Wilson's comments.
I have to ask you, are you sure you heard what he said, that the president said you know he knew what he was signing up for? You heard that?
Yeah, he said that. You know, to me, that is something that you can say in a conversation. But you shouldn't say that to a grieving widow. And everyone knows when you go to war, you could possibly not come back alive. But you don't remind a grieving widow of that. It's so insensitive. So insensitive. He should not have said that, and he shouldn't have said it. That is what stood out in my mind. Now, I didn't hear the entire conversation, but when I tried to find out what the entire conversation was, she said, I just can't remember everything that he said. But that stood out in everybody's heart in the car. You don't say that. He is the president of the United States. This is a soldier who gave his life for his country. He is a hero in our minds, in our community's minds. That is an insult to the entire Miami Gardens community, to entire District 24, to Miami-Dade County, and to this nation. And I hope he did not say that to the other three families that he called.
Congresswoman Wilson, this is directly, you heard that from the grieving widow, that he knew what he signed up for.
Yes.
So our understanding, it was a five-minute conversation. He expressed his condolences.
But by the way, you know, it's almost like if you are, you understand. I don't have to interpret that. That is very.
And that was Rep. Wilson sharing her account of what happened when Donald Trump reached out to the fallen soldier, LeDavid's family, his wife, and his family. She happened to be in the car when the call came in, and that was her recount of what happened. Now, for those who may question Donald Trump's sincerity related to military families, especially those who might have been injured in war or those who have lost loved ones in war. And we're going to get to whether or not this is, we're going to delve more in this, but I wanted to, because today's show is Retro Sunday and wanting to put things in context, I thought to myself, you know, oftentimes we are judged in the moment based on our past. Rightfully, wrongfully so, you do, I do. I want to give meaning to things. I don't like surprises. So oftentimes I look for things that have happened in the past to help me put in perspective what might happen in the present or what might happen in the future. So before I started to take a side or determine whether or not I felt like Trump was right, Wilson was wrong, Trump was right, he had the intentions, he didn't have the intentions, what did John Kelly say? I said, you know what, let me see how Donald Trump has conducted himself before with families or individuals that we would all regard in high respect for specifically their service to this country. So first, I went back to summer of 2015 when Donald Trump was just kicking off his run for president. And then obviously, shockingly so, he would become president. But this is summer of 2015, talking about John McCain, currently a senator from Arizona, the Republican nominee who ran against Barack Obama in 2008. Some refer to him as the Maverick in the Republican Party. He's also recently been one of the deciding votes in the repeal of the Affordable Care Act not happening, even though the Republicans have the majority of senators in the Senate. And as many people know, he is someone who fought on behalf of this country in the past and was a prisoner of war. And this is Donald Trump. I'll let you judge whether or not he has a level of empathy and sensitivity and statesman-like attitude towards not John McCain as the politician, but towards John McCain as a soldier. Here's Donald Trump, summer of 2015.
Somebody should run against John McCain, who has been, you know, in my opinion, not so hot. And I supported him. I supported him for president. I raised $1 million for him. It's a lot of money. I supported him. He lost. He let us down. But, you know, he lost. So I never liked him as much after that, because I don't like losers. But Frank, let me get to him. He hit me. He's not a war hero.
He's a war hero.
He's a war hero because he was captured. I like people that weren't captured, okay? I hate to tell you.
Do you agree with that?
He's a war hero because he was captured, okay? You can have, and I believe perhaps he's a war hero, but right now he said some very bad things about a lot of people.
Well now, that's Donald Trump 2 years ago showing, in my opinion, no level of compassion, sensitivity, tact, not very statesmanlike. See, I'm a fan of you can go after people's points of view. You can go after John McCain, the politician. But it seems odd at best and mean at worst to go after him for his service. But one time doing something doesn't make something a fact or a trend or an expectation. So maybe Donald Trump is Mr. Sensitivity when it comes to military families. Maybe he's above being divisive when it comes to politics and rhetoric and things like that. Maybe it was just personal against John McCain. So then fast forward to 2016, around the time when Donald Trump was going to get the nomination to become the POTUS nominee for the Republican Party, around the time that Hillary Clinton was officially about to become the nominee for the Democratic Party, and she was at the convention, and you know, at these conventions, they have a bunch of people to get up and speak and talk. And at the 2016 DNC convention, where Hillary Clinton was about to become the official nominee, the Khan family, the mother and father of a Muslim U.S. soldier who was killed in combat, they went to the stage and they spoke. During their speech, which was about 6 minutes or so, they criticized Donald Trump's stance against immigrants and Muslims during their speech at the Democrat National Convention. They're immigrants. They're of Muslim faith. And rest in peace, their son who lost his life in, I believe, Afghanistan, fighting on behalf of this country. And they said a few words about Donald Trump. And then here is Donald Trump talking about that family, which is referred to as a Gold Star family because they are a family that has lost a loved one who was serving this country.
You have sacrificed nothing, and no one.
He said you wouldn't have even let his son in America.
He doesn't know that. I saw him. He was, very emotional and probably looked like a nice guy to me. His wife, if you look at his wife, she was standing there. She had nothing to say. She probably, maybe she wasn't allowed to have anything to say, you tell me, but plenty of people have written that. She was extremely quiet, and it looked like she had nothing to say. A lot of people have said that, and personally, I watched him. I wish him the best of luck, George.
What would you say to their father?
Well, I'd say we've had a lot of problems.
And that's Donald Trump, which I'm starting to notice a pattern. Does something that could easily be seen as disrespectful, or at least something not becoming of one of the most powerful men in the world, which is that of someone who is about to, at that moment, on his way or path to potentially becoming president, but definitely still in a position of power, being the Republican nominee back in 2016 in the summertime. And so then you would think Trump might, upon further review, have some regret. Maybe realize that he shouldn't be going after a family that's still grieving a loved one's loss and someone who lost a hero, a soldier, someone who was fighting on behalf of this country. Here's Donald Trump talking about whether he had any regrets and whether or not he's done any sacrifices for this country.
Do you regret at all engaging in this back and forth with the Khans?
I don't regret anything. I said nice things about the son, and I feel that very strongly. But, of course, I was hit very hard from the stage, and, it's just one of those things. But, I don't regret anything. with ISIS.
How would you answer that, Father? What sacrifice have you made for your country?
I think I've made a lot of sacrifices. I work very, very hard. I've created thousands and thousands of jobs, tens of thousands of jobs, built great structures. I've had tremendous success. I think
those are sacrifices.
Oh, sure. I think they're sacrifices. I think when I can employ thousands and thousands of people, take care of their education.
And that's Donald Trump attempting to explain away why he attacked verbally a family that and parents of a former U.S. soldier who lost his life fighting for this country. Name and where you're calling from. Hello, do we have a caller on the line? Name and where you're calling from. Going once. Going twice. Please attempt to call back in. I cannot hear you. That is part of live radio. Folks call in. Maybe they have their volume up too high. But please call back in. And if they call back in, or if you want to call in, please do, because it's Retro Sunday, where it's just me, you, and your radio, or your smartphone, or your laptop, or your computer, or your iPad. Because it's 2017, so folks, don't just listen to the radio on the radio. There's a bunch of other ways to do it. And it's Retro Old School Sunday, because I'm not doing any Facebook Live today, any Instagram Live, no live tweeting. It's old school. So if you want to hang out today, you got to do it the old school way. I keep thinking the phone call is going to make a comeback eventually, because certain things have universal truths, which is we as people love to connect with each other. And whether that's in person or whether that's over the phone, there's nothing quite like being able to hear the sound of someone's voice. There's nothing quite like being able to be in front of somebody and see their body language, their gestures, see how quickly or slowly they're breathing, whether they're smiling or frowning, whether they're slumped forward, standing at attention. There's just something about some of the things from the past that I do hope they make a comeback in the present and the future. And so, Mr. Telephone Man, there's nothing wrong with your line. You call the Gregory Neesmith Show, I'm going to pick up every time. Shout out to one of my favorite bands, New Edition. Old school. And also, speaking of old school, I've been showing my age. My birthday's been on my mind because a month from today, November 22nd, it's my birthday. And shout out to all the Scorpios out there. And so today we've been talking about the news and the culture, but also putting it in perspective by looking at things in the past that relate to things in the future. Like, and no pun intended, doing things for likes instead of doing what's right. Yes, it rhymes. I didn't mean to, but I'm rolling with it. Which means sometimes you can lose your job or at least get suspended like Jemele Hill did for doing what I believe was right, or vocal saying something that she believed that was right but may not be liked at the time. It's NFL Sunday, and those of you who follow the show know that I don't watch football anymore until I see the protests turn to progress related to racial inequality and policing and the overall justice system. There were some meetings this week with NFL players and NFL owners. I'm still waiting to see what happens next. So we'll continue to talk about that in the weeks and months to come. But remember, underdogs, do what you feel is right. Do it because it's your calling. Do it because it's your cause. Do it even if it feels like it might be something controversial because you'll be able to sleep at night and history will almost more than likely certainly be on your side. Because just like the NFL players are being called disrespectful, they should go someplace else, un-American, disrespecting the flag and all that. Well, guess what? The same thing was said about the 1993 protesters who were the 800,000 of them in Washington, D.C., who were marching for LGBT rights. The same thing was said about Vietnam protesters. The same things were said about civil rights protesters. And specifically, can you believe Martin Luther King, Gallup poll back in the 60s, almost two-thirds of Americans negative rating of him, and now less than 5% feel negative about Martin Luther King. Just trying to put it in perspective. Colin Kaepernick last year was the most hated player in the NFL. It actually was a sign that he was doing something right, instead of doing something to be liked. It's a reminder to each of us, and I'm including me too in this, because you are, I am, each of us is going to have moments that come up in our life where there's an unpopular choice to be made. An unpopular thing to be said. An unpopular cause to support. And we're going to get to choose between doing what we think will be liked or doing what we think is right. Shout out to the underdogs. My people. And actually, even the occasional Trump supporter, because you're going to get a chance to do what is right too when these elections come back around. I hope you change your mind. And we've been talking about what was going on in Niger. And some back and forth about whether Donald Trump was being sensitive, empathetic. Was he being a consoler in chief when he reached out to the family of the fallen soldier, LaDavid Johnson from Florida? And before we got into today's news, it's Retro Sunday. So I wanted to give some context about whether or not Trump has been sensitive or not, at least in public, to families and individuals who served this country and either lost loved ones or been prisoners of war like John McCain or lost loved ones like the Khan family. And so far, I haven't found too many instances of him being the consoler in chief. So I wouldn't be surprised if the call that he had with the Johnson family didn't go as planned. It's possible. Now back to Donald Trump responding to comments that Rep. Wilson made about Trump's phone call to that family.
Didn't say what that congresswoman said. Didn't say it at all. She knows it. And she now is not saying it. I did not say what she said. And I'd like her to make the statement again, because I did not say what she said. I had a very nice conversation with the woman, with the wife, who is sounded like a lovely woman. Did not say what the congresswoman said. And most people aren't too surprised to hear that. Let her make her statement again, and then you'll find out. Okay, let her make her statement again, and then you'll find out.
And that was Donald Trump. I'm sure a lot of you aren't surprised. Denying, deflecting, saying there's proof. You know, we get personal here about the news and the culture. And what this reminds me of is sometimes what's actually needed is an apology. And not because I intended to do something wrong. But sometimes an apology is warranted because my intentions and then actions and then the outcome weren't aligned. And this could have all been stopped with a simple statement from Trump going, my intentions were to console the Johnson family. However, it wasn't received that way. My deepest apologies and my condolences and prayers go out to them for the service of LaDavid Johnson. And I continue to have them in my thoughts and prayers. Something like that. And this could have all been over. Now, one thing that has disturbed me about all this is Rep Wilson's been in the news. Trump's been in the news. John Kelly went out on Trump's behalf and said some things. And it's actually, to me, overshadowed the real story. And there's two real stories. One of which is four Americans died in Niger. And I bet you, you don't even know their names. Why? Because we keep talking about Rep Wilson and Donald Trump. And he said, she said, and John Kelly and Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Well, I want to take a moment to make sure that we pause for the four men that were part of a 12-member team in Niger that were ambushed on October 4th by reportedly 50 ISIS fighters after those Green Berets had just left helping some local forces in Nigeria that combat terrorists there. And a salute and appreciation and prayers and condolences to Staff Sergeant Brian Black, who was 35, who was reported he learned a local dialect because he wanted to communicate directly with those in Niger. Our salute to Staff Sergeant Jeremiah Johnson, 39 years old, of Springboro, Ohio, who earned dozens of military commendations and leaves behind a wife and two daughters. Salute and prayers to Dustin Wright, age 29, from Georgia, who came from a family deeply rooted in military service, going back to 1812. And a salute in our thoughts and prayers to Sergeant LaDavid Johnson, 25 years old, of Miami Gardens, Florida, who married his childhood sweetheart, Maisha, and they were expecting, and they are expecting, or she's pregnant, and they have both the expecting child and two other children. Let's make sure we remember all four of those soldiers who gave their life. And the other story that we're missing is why it took over 10 days for the White House to even inform us about what happened, to make an official statement. It's been reported that for several years, American and French troops have provided training and support to the militaries in Niger and other vulnerable African countries where Islamic extremists have grown. But I'd like to get an official statement as to why we're still there. Would like to understand how LaDavid Johnson got separated and or left behind by the team there and was found 48 hours later after the ambush had happened. With all due respect to Rep Wilson and Donald Trump and John Kelly and Sarah Huckabee Sanders and their back and forth about he said, she said, First of all, Donald Trump should just apologize. And second of all, we should get to the real news here, which is honoring the four men that died and also finding out what happened so that something like this, if it can be avoided, doesn't happen again. With that, 2 hours has flown by. And as always, I am grateful that you, underdogs, my people, and the occasional Trump supporter come along for the journey. Hard to believe that in a couple weeks, we will have been doing this for a year. The 1 year anniversary of the Gregory Neesmith Show happens in November next month. Thank you to Deborah for calling in and letting us know her thoughts. Deborah from Manhattan. Shout out to everyone who was listening, driving around in their cars on this sunny Sunday in New York City and in Harlem. Or for the folks who watched on www.whcr.org. Appreciate you. This was Retro Sunday, where we went no Facebook Live, no Twitter, no Instagram Live, just me, you, and the radio. And by the way, a couple new rules from today's show. Don't use the phrase anthem protest anymore. The NFL players, which led off with Colin Kaepernick, are protesting to bring awareness to racial inequality in policing and the overall justice system. Nobody's protesting an anthem. Another new rule from today's show. It's challenging, but it's worth it. Don't do it for the likes. Do it because it's right. Because, new rule, history will be on your side. Keep fighting. And I'm going to keep fighting too. Keep fighting for underdogs to rediscover how special we are in the world so we can go from being against the odds to being the favorites. If you miss any of today's live show every Sunday, podcast is on Monday, and you can download it by searching The Gregory Neesmith Show on iTunes, Podomatic, Google Play, or Stitcher. And as always, I leave you with my favorite quote. Underdogs, can't nobody do it like you do it. Nobody. Peace.